I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to our series this month on four wonderful people of the Old Testament. We are grateful to be with you. Pastor Salem's message titled, Samuel, A Man Sold Out to God, provides lessons for us to live by. We hope our program will be a blessing to you.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Here we are, another week's rolled by, week closer to glory. And yet there's work to be done. And until the Lord comes again, we're going to keep working for the Lord. And we're going to be preaching today about Samuel, a man sold out to God. Oh, it's a beautiful story. And I just know you're going to be blessed by it. We're going to take some lessons from his life. But before the message, I want to just read some of the letters. We got so many wonderful letters, and we want to share them with you, because you can pray for these folks, and there's power in prayer, and it'll make a difference in their life. So our first letter is from Belton, Missouri, and it says, I was unable to attend service at my church, so I turned on to your broadcast. I thoroughly enjoyed your message on John 3:16. I am a 96-year-old free will Baptist preacher. I've been trying to preach the glorious gospel for over 50 years. Brother preacher, you're an inspiration to me. And I want to say to this brother preacher, you're a blessing to me. Here he is, 96 years old, worshiping the Lord, and he's given over a half a century to the preaching of the gospel. I'm all just thrilled when I hear from pastors. And here's this dear brother, faithful and true and loyal to Christ. Right to the grave. Praise the Lord. Here is Missoula, Montana. This is a women's prison. And I tell you, we get a lot of letters from people in prison. We answer every letter we get, every letter we get. Most of them aren't able to send a gift, but we write and see them anyway. And there's some of you folks going to have to make up for that. And you get your pencil and paper at the end of the service. I'll tell you how you can contribute and help us. But this is a women's prison in Missoula, Montana. And just listen to this now. There are approximately 60 women in this facility, most on drug charges. I ask that you pray for all of us to be strong against our addiction and be able to stay strong throughout our incarceration. Now listen to this. Pray for our children and grandchildren to be safe until such time as we can hold them in our arms again. Your worship hour brings so much peace into my heart every Sunday morning. At this time, unable to make a monetary donation, but please keep, I know your mission in my prayers. I'll keep your mission in my prayers. Now, just think of this. Here's a mother. Here's a grandmother. She's praying for her babies, her children, and wants to take them in her arms. And so we need to pray for these dear people, that God will comfort their hearts and help them to finish out whatever time they have to do and get back home. And I tell you, I always tell people in prison, you're there for a reason. And it might not just be breaking the law. You're there because he'll use you in that prison. Paul was in prison. And he was a great witness for Christ. And here's this lady. She's talking to others and praying. Oh, we just thank God for them. Here's a little short letter. Pensacola, Florida. This is from a gentleman. Thank you, Brother Salem. Listen to what he says. You are a light in a world that doesn't want God. You're a light in the world that doesn't want God. And that's exactly the world we live in. They don't want God, and they don't want Christ, and they don't want the Bible, and they don't want prayer, and they don't want any of the commandments of God. They want to be their own God, and it can only lead to hell. Hell for, oh my God, why don't you turn to Jesus and get some sense in your head? But it's just so true. And then here's Spring Valley, California. I just finished watching the Christian Worship Hour, praising God for your message. God really touched my heart. I'm feeling a peace I haven't felt in a while. I needed to be with you during that time. I've been feeling closer and closer to my God. And lately, as you spoke, I stood up and opened my arms and asked Jesus to come into my heart as you asked me to do. And I have a deep peace and joy ever since. I'm handicapped with a bad back, can no longer go to church. The Christian Worship Hour is my church. And your prayers and your gifts make this possible. And here she is. That's the way to God. You ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins, and he'll come. He wants to come in. And you just, at the end of the service, you help us and keep up, pray for us, and maybe you want to support us. But let's look at this story of Samuel, a man sold out to God. And we're beginning a series of sermons now for the month of October. And we're going to look at four great people of God. We're going to look at Samuel, a man sold out to God. We're going to look at Daniel, a man who finished well. We're going to look at Esther, a shining star, and David, great sinner, great saint. But today it's Samuel. Samuel was the son of Elkanah, a pious Ephraimite. His mother's name was Hannah, a very godly woman. Hannah had long been childless, and she prayed to God and begged God for a child. So Hannah makes this matter a thing of prayer. She beseeches God to give her a son. And the fact that Hannah went to Jehovah shows that she had a faith in God. She didn't go to a fortune teller or something like that. She went to God. And Hannah promises, God, if you give me a son, I'll dedicate him to God's service. Well, she promised that as soon as the child was weaned, she'd bring him to Shiloh. She would dedicate him as a Nazarene. She would leave him with the old priest Eli to minister in the Lord's house. And so it was that God in his great mercy heard Hannah's prayer and gave her a little boy. Hannah names his precious little son Samuel. His name means means name of God or a godly name. It may have been part of a sentence that Hannah spoke when the baby was born. It may have been a sentence like, I've asked for him a godly name, or I've asked him of the Lord, and God has answered my prayer. So Samuel is prayed for, and a long time before his birth, and then God showed his mercy, and here he is. When Samuel was weaned, Hannah took him to Shiloh, to the temple, to serve God as she promised. Just how old Samuel was, we don't know. He might have been 3 or 4 years old. He might have been 12 to 14 years old. We don't know exactly. Maybe it's somewhere in between. But he was a very young lad, and Hannah kept her promise. So the little child Samuel was left at the temple with the priest Eli. Not much is known about Eli. He was a pious old man. He was almost 90 years old. He had two sons who were wicked sons, and they were in the priesthood, but they were wicked men, Hophni and Phinehas. These two brothers were called the sons of Belial. In the Old Testament, that was the worst thing you could call a person. Basically, it means they were worthlessness. They're good for nothing. They were reprobates. They were just absolutely the scum of the earth. These two sons of godly Eli were about as low and wicked as anybody can imagine. And so it was in this situation that Hannah left her little son Samuel. Samuel became a servant to the aged Eli. He opened the gates of the temple. He closed the gates of the temple. He did the chores in the temple. And every year without fail, this dear mother would come to the temple to worship. And when she came, she would bring a little coat for Samuel. And the next year, a little bigger, until he was a strong young man. And she's bringing in these coats to this wonderful son. Now, so she leaves the little boy there, and then something happened. Just when it took place, we do not know, but we know that it took place while he was still a lad, while a little boy. Three times Samuel hears somebody calling his name. He's in bed at night, sleeping on his little cot, and he hears them calling his name, and he goes to the old priest. Eli now is about 97 years of age, and he had failing eyesight. And the third time that Eli comes, the third time this happens, Eli tells Samuel, answer that when he asks, and say this, speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak, for thy servant heareth. And that became Samuel's life motto. And every time God spoke to Samuel, he was true and spoke the word of God. And whereupon God gave, said then, and then God gave him a message. And the message was a sad one. Message of judgment on Eli and his two wicked sons. And it's just something that the boy would hate to do. But the next morning he's up and doing the doors of the temple and doing the chores and everything else. And this lad, he's thinking in his heart what they've been telling him, that the boys are going to die and Eli is going to die. And how's he going to tell Eli that? Well, in the morning, Samuel went about his business, and Eli had a premonition that something was happening. The old priest knew that something wasn't right. Earlier, God had warned Eli to set his house in order, to discipline his sons, to cleanse the way of life they lived. Unless they did, well, this is what God told Eli. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day shall they die, both of them. So Eli knew the judgment was coming because he didn't straighten his boys out, didn't work with them. And that's the message that Samuel had to give to Eli. And when he told that to Eli, the old priest said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good to him." So then Samuel continues. He stays. He grows to be a young man. And he grew in stature and in beauty before all the people of Israel. And people of Israel could see that there was something special in that young man. And the stronger he got and the taller he got, the more like God he looked like in his life. And so we read in 1 Samuel, "And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Thus it was, he grew up before the Lord, and he always was true to his word." And then there comes a battle, and the Philistines are invading Israel, and they come to a place called Ebenezer. And Israelites have a fight there, and they lose 4,000 men. And Israel is stunned. And before they go into the next battle with the Philistines, they take the Ark of the Covenant with them. They think falsely. They think that that's going to bring them good luck. And so they go into battle. And the next time, they don't lose 4,000. They lose 30,000. And the two sons of Eli are lost. Hophni and Phinehas are slain. And the ark is carried away by the Philistines. A crushing defeat. And so a messenger returns from the battlefield. And when he comes in, he tells the people in the city. And there's weeping and they're wailing and they're crying. And Eli, hearing the uproar, says, "Bring me that messenger. What is this message?" And this is his message. And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old. His eyes were dim and he couldn't see. And the messenger answered and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines. There hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God is taken." And it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God, Eli fell from off his seat backwards on the side of the gate, and he broke his neck, and he died because of an old man and heavy. He had judged Israel 40 years. And upon the death of the old priest Eli, now comes Samuel on the scene. He is alone the prophet of God, and we are told in 1 Samuel 3:21, "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel." And so Samuel now, he goes from the scene because of the Philistines, and we don't hear anything about him for 20 years. And after that period of time, he comes back, and he calls the people of Israel together, and he wants them to pray. And so he is a man, as he calls the people, they look to Samuel as a man who can be totally trusted. He's totally true to God. He was indeed a man, a noble man. And in his old age, Samuel had two sons, if you can imagine, Joel and Abijah, and they were not good sons. And you wonder, how can a godly man like Samuel have two wicked sons? But that's the history. That's the way it was. After a time, the Israelites revolted against the sons and demanded a king instead of the judges. And so God tells Samuel, you go to Saul, and I want you him to be the first king. And so he anoints Saul. But Saul is not a good man. He proved to be headstrong and vain and self-willed and selfish and disobedient to God. And as a result, God's rejected Saul's kingdom and his work. And he says to Samuel, you have to give him a message. And Samuel loved Saul. He always loved Saul. And God says to Samuel, I want you to go to the king Saul. And because I want you to tell him that you're going to be a man and you're going to come to a day when they're going to lose your sons and your life and your kingdom and all that you have. How hard that would be. Samuel then leaves Saul, and some of the saddest words in the Old Bible, in the Old Testament, are these words. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Samuel never saw Saul again. And so God then tells Samuel, I want you to go and anoint this little shepherd boy, Jesse's son, David, and he'll be the second king of Israel. Samuel was not to live to see Israel's greatest king. Samuel died before that. And when he died, all of Israel mourned. And it is said that he was buried in his own house. That is, he had a house with a lot and is buried in that lot. And they put a tombstone to remember him. So he passes from the picture, one of Israel's greatest leaders, one of leaders' greatest men, Samuel. Now, what can we take from this? There's some lessons. The first lesson he leaves us is we see the power of a mother's prayers. Before Samuel was born, his mother prayed for him, and her consecration of him to the Lord's house was accompanied by prayer to God. When God needs a great man, he raises up a praying mother first of all. A mother's prayer is so important. You mothers never give up. Pray, and now it'll make a difference. God hears your prayers, and it makes a difference in the child's life. And so if you have an evil mother, you probably have an evil son. You remember the story of Nero, how he persecuted the church and was a horrible, horrible monster. Well, what was his mother? His mother was a murderess. Or the great poet Byron, when he was was a wicked and a worldly man, terrible poet. But his mother was violent and vain and passionate. But when you read of St. Augustine, you find a mother who was a woman of great prayer. Or the children of John Wesley, that mother, John Wesley's mother. She had a large family, but every day she had a separate time where she talked to each child about the Lord Jesus Christ and serving God, a godly mother. So when we read of a godly Samuel, we're not surprised. Had a godly mother. If you have a Christian mother, you need to respect her, you need to love her, you need to listen to her and obey and follow as she leads. And then another thing we see, Samuel always made God the center of his life. Nothing else counted to Samuel. He was always seeking first his God, as Jesus later would declare. That's exactly what Jesus said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Long before Jesus is born, Samuel is practicing that. He's putting God first before everything and anything. That's the way it was in his life. He was constantly in touch with his God. He was always seeking out his word and what God wanted. And that's the way we have to live. We have to think about Jesus. We have to think about God. We have to think about his name. We have to think, would this please the Lord? We have to think, what would Jesus do in this situation? We have to think, what if the Lord Jesus Christ would have me do today? We need to be conscious of his presence. God tells us, pray without ceasing. That means always be close to Jesus. Always have him in your thoughts. Be as close to him as you can possibly be. And all your heart set upon the Lord. That's what Samuel preached. He practiced what he preached, and he told Israel, turn not aside from following the Lord. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Follow the Lord closely. Never deviate. Never stick apart. Stay close to God. Give him all your heart and give him everything you have. And then we're also told, Always be true to God's word. We see that in Samuel's life. That is, Samuel always gave God's message, whether it was guidance and direction or whether it was reproof or correction, whether he felt good or whether it felt good or burned like fire. Samuel said exactly what God wanted him to say, word by word and line by line. So it was that Samuel, as a little boy, went to the old priest Eli, gave him a message that loses all that he had. Sometimes later, the same Samuel had to go to King Saul, tell him, you're going to lose your boys, you're going to lose your kingdom, you're going to lose your life, you're going to lose all of these things. And the day came when Samuel went out before Israel, and Samuel went out and never came back, never saw Saul again. But Saul was headstrong and proud, and he has to go into battle against the powerful, wicked Philistines. And he has a feeling, he has a premonition that not is all well. He needs some guidance. He needs some direction. Where's Samuel? Samuel is dead. I can't go to Samuel. And so what does he do? Where does Saul go? He goes to the underworld, and he goes to a witch at Endor. That's where he went for help, not his God, his great and wonderful God. And the evil witch asks Saul, whom shall I call up for you? And who does Saul want to see? Moses or some of the great saints of the past? No, he wants to say, Samuel, call up Samuel. And the man who had faced him squarely and told him what the score was the man that he wanted to see. And I want to tell you, pastors, wherever you are, you preach God's word and don't waver one bit. Stand true. And I'm going to tell you, you may preach and they may not agree with you and they may not like it and they may become angry and they may hate you. But I'm going to tell you this. Listen to me. When they come to die, when they come to eternity, when they come to face God Almighty, they're going to call on the pastor that'll level with them and give them God's word. Stay true to God's word. I failed so many words, so many ways in 72 years, but I, one thing, God help me. I always preach the Bible the best way I knew how. And they'll respect you and they'll listen, and that's who they want to listen to. They don't want to listen to the witch of Endor. They want to listen to the man of God. And finally, always look to God for guidance. Samuel knew where true wisdom lay. He knew where to get the answer. And it wasn't from man. It was from God. How foolish we are to consult men when we could and should consult God. Saul did just the opposite. He made his decisions without God's help. He was his own God. He was a humanist way back there. And when he comes to the greatest crisis of his life, he stands at the eve of a battle that is going to take his sons in death. He's going to take his own life. It's going to take his kingdom. And where does he go for help? He goes to the witch of Endor. Friend, listen to me. You need to live so close to Jesus Christ that when the storm clouds break over your head, it's going to happen. You'll turn to God. You'll automatically turn to God. And you'll be because you've been doing it for so long. That's the only way you know to turn. You've been doing it so consistently. It'll be just as natural as drawing your breath. When your trials come and the troubles come, you turn to God. That's the only answer. You have to do that, but you have to have a faith of your own. Nobody can give it to you. Oh, I wish I could give it to you. Your wife wishes. Mostly it's the men that tag behind, but maybe I don't know what the situation is. But we need to do this. Nobody can give it to you. Your parents can't give it to you. Your spouse can't give it to you. Can't give you faith. They're just like those 10 virgins, you remember? And they says, give us their oil. And no, they couldn't do that. They couldn't do that. They can't give their oil. They can't give their faith. It has to be you. You have to do that. And this is how you do it. You ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and take away your sins. And the result is going to be heaven or hell. You're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell when you die. That's a given. So mark it down. And where you go depends on little old you. Nobody else. Nobody else. call on the name of Jesus. And if you do that, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you a literature of accepting Jesus. And if you have questions or something that's got to be spiritual, don't write politics and stuff like that. Don't have time for that. And you just write to us, and we need your help. If you think that this ministry is something that needs to be on the air, be off of shortwave radio and television, you need to send us a gift. Christian Worship Hour, and it's a box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send mine to PayPal or some other, any card you got, anywhere in the world, and help us in the work. Now we're going to pray. We're going to pray, and we always pray for the persecuted church. We're going to think of those in Chad. So, Heavenly Father, first of all, we pray that there'll be many will pray to ask you to come into their heart, take away their sin, and promise to serve you. May there be multitudes. For those who are on beds of sickness and those who are sorrowing and those who are lonely, we pray for them and help them to know you gave that promise. You never leave them or forsake them. And to the persecuted church in Chad, Lord, we're thinking of that area for today. Oh, some of them, the dads are gone, gave their life. Some of them have to leave their home. Some of them have their churches burned down. Some of them have been tortured. Some of them are told as slaves. Oh, how the church is persecuted. And help them to know that all over the world, the Christian Worship Hour is praying for them and upholding them in prayer and give them courage and strength and never to give up. Keep their eyes on Jesus, and that day is going to come. There'll be a glorious day when the Son of God returns, and when the Lord will come from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. That's going to happen, and we're going to be ready. So, God, just help us all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, we want to thank you for being with us today. I know God has spoken to a lot of you. The Holy Spirit's talking to your heart. Settle the matter. Get it straight. Get your way to heaven. Get your help today. Get peace. Get joy. Get contentment. Come to Jesus. And then pray for us and support our work because we don't have any other source of income. So we're going to be looking forward to next week. And we just pray that this week you'll have a good week. But if you have troubles and trials, you know where to go. Go where Samuel went. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Don't go to the world. They don't have any answers. Go to Jesus. That's what we preach because that's the only answer. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.